Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for taking the time to tune in our program this morning. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given the times of our services. We cordially invite you to all or any of these services. You will always be warmly received. A few months ago, we started a study concerning the subject, the Kingdom of God. We began this series by looking at the prophecies concerning the coming of the Kingdom of God, and we examined the prophecies of Daniel and those in the Revelation letter. We will discuss Revelations in more detail at a later time. We're now discussing the contents of Matthew chapter 24. Unfortunately, the premillennialists and dispensationalists of our time have misinterpreted, mistaught, and abused the teaching of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, in their eyes, is a text of the future events of time yet to come, and they connect the statements of Jesus with the second coming of Christ and the so-called premillennial reign of 1,000 years upon the earth. Such teaching and understanding is human theology. It cannot be substantiated by prophecy, nor by the words of the apostles or any inspired writer, and especially the words of Jesus himself, and especially as we look at the context of Matthew chapter 24. In the past few studies, we've set the setting for this chapter. We looked at the teaching of Jesus as he told the Jews in Matthew 21 that he was going to cast them out and give the kingdom to another, that is, the Gentiles would now be offered salvation. Chapter 22, the religious leaders of the day came to Jesus in an attempt to trap him in his teaching, but each of them were turned away one at a time by their hypothetical questions and situations. And then in chapter 23, he gives the Jews, the Pharisees, a very stern rebuke for their hypocrisy, for he concluded that they observe and say, but they do not do. They were hypocritical. They teach one thing and do another. That sets the stage for chapter number 24, and that's where we left off in our last study. We want to begin this morning by looking at the beginning of chapter 24 in verses 1 through 3. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" This is foretelling of the destruction of the temple. Immediately after judicial sentence that's pronounced upon the Jews in Matthew 23, Matthew 24 declares the complete destruction of the temple and the holy city of Jerusalem. We know this from our previous reading in Matthew chapter 23 in verse number 38, when he told them after he came into the city and wept over the city that their house would be left to them desolate. And so, in verse number 1, Jesus departs from the temple, never to return again. In the second part of the verse, the disciples are stunned by his pronouncement in chapter 23 and verse 36 through 38, and come to him to show him the buildings of the temple. In verse number 2, Jesus emphatically declares, "See ye not all these things?" Now notice, he thought that they should understand the things that he was telling them. But then he tells them very emphatically that there shall not be left here one stone upon another, and that shall not be thrown down. The destruction would be accompanied by tribulation that had never been experienced or witnessed in the world before. When Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, Josephus wrote, "There was left nothing to make those who had come thither believe it had ever been inhabited." It was this prophecy that caused the disciples to ask the questions, when would these things be? You see, they were confused. They didn't understand how the beautiful buildings of the temple, which were rebuilt in the days of Herod by himself to make a legacy for himself, not as any great thing for his faith and belief in God, had taken 46 years to build. You remember in John chapter 2, beginning in verse 19 through 21, Jesus prophesied that they would destroy this temple and in 3 days he would raise it up. They thought that he was talking about the physical temple of Herod, but that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the temple of his body and the prophecy concerning his resurrection from the dead. But we want to examine the question in verse number 3. Tell us, when shall these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Now, there is great division over how many questions here are asked. Some think there are 3. Others think, believe there are 2 and tie the last 2 together. Be that as it may, I want to explain that according to the text, Jesus is going to answer all the questions. And I believe when you study Matthew 24, you must include the study of Matthew chapter 25. Because chapter number 25 will answer the last question. When is the sign of your coming? That question will be answered by the teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 25. But let me make some observations here in the beginning. In Matthew 23, Jesus had declared the righteous judgment of God to come upon that generation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that statement is of extreme importance. He said in verse number 36 of chapter 23, "Assuredly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." The generation that heard Jesus speak. The generation that would still be alive after his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. It's not talking about generations that are not even yet born. These things would happen in their generation. Jesus then pronounced in verse 38 that their house would be left to them desolate. This signified that God had departed from the temple and from the nation of Israel. And Jesus went on and departed from the temple according to chapter 24 and verse number 1. After Christ pronounced that the temple would be desolate, the disciples exclaimed, "Master, behold what manner of stones and what manner of the buildings." You can read that account in Mark chapter 13, verse number 1. It seemed beyond their comprehension that such could be destroyed, that God would be depart from such a beautiful temple. But Jesus told them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And so, Jesus is telling them emphatically that this beautiful temple and this beautiful item that they're looking at is going to be torn down. It is going to become desolate. In other words, listener, it is going to be destroyed. The importance of this question can also be seen in Mark's account in chapter 13 and verse 4 and Luke chapter 21 and verse 7. These passages indicate that they wanted to know at least 2 things. First, the disciples wanted to know when these things would come about. Second, they desired to know the sign as to when these things were about to be accomplished. The context is clear that they are speaking of things pertaining to the destruction of Jerusalem, or, in particular, the temple. The sign, compared with the parallel accounts, notice, what shall the sign when these things are about to come to pass? That's Luke's account in Luke chapter 21 and verse number 7. In Mark's account in chapter 13 and verse 4, what shall be the sign when these things are all about to be accomplished? And then in chapter 24 of Matthew in verse 3, what will be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Their question would indicate that to the disciples, the destruction of the temple was to occur at the second coming of the Lord. And this would put an end to the present state of the world on the day of judgment. But, ladies and gentlemen, remember, that's their conception. And it's a misconception. They misunderstood. Misunderstanding the Old Testament statements about the temple has caused much error in the religious world. Please consider the teachings of Psalm 78, 68, and 69. Failure to understand what the temple was but a type of Christ in the church, according to Matthew chapter number 12, verse 6, and John chapter 4. You remember the conversation with the woman at the well, and that the Samaritan woman. And Jesus told her that the day was coming, or the hour was coming, when people would neither worship in Jerusalem or in this mountain in Samaria. That the place was no longer going to be the significant thing. It was not going to be just one place. It was not just going to be the holy city of Jerusalem. It was not just going to be the physical temple. Then he declares to the woman in John 4, verse 24, God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is telling the woman that there is a change coming very soon about how men are going to worship God, that the physical location is not going to be the central focus, but the focus is going to be the attitude of the worshiper and the pattern of the worship that they follow. And so you can understand how the Jewish mindset would believe and tie together that the destruction of Jerusalem, that the destruction of the temple would be, in their mind, at the end of time and at the end of the world when the second and final appearance of Christ and the judgment of all men. Why would they think that? Well, listeners, we need to remember that for 1,500 years, the Jewish nation had been under the law of Moses. They were God's chosen people. They were the nation chosen above all other nations to be the seed that would bring the Christ into the world. Remember, Abraham was promised, and we looked at this earlier in Genesis 12, verse 3, that through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Therefore, there was going to have to be a remnant remain of the Jewish race in order to bring the Christ, the Messiah, into the world. And so that was according to God's plan. But if we go back to passages like Deuteronomy chapter 6, we will read that he did not choose Israel because they were the most righteous, nor because they were the largest of nations, but because he loved them. And he put his name in his dwelling place in Jerusalem. And there, at first, the tabernacle was built in the days of the Exodus. And then it was replaced with the temple in the days of Solomon, when it was dedicated. And then it was rebuilt after the destruction in Babylon during the Babylonian captivity. And then it would be rebuilt by Herod in the days prior to the coming of Christ. But this physical temple and the holy city of Jerusalem encompassed everything they understood about worship. And in the Jews' mind, the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple would mean the end of time and the judgment to come. But ladies and gentlemen, they were wrong. They were wrong, and men are wrong today. They misunderstand. Next Lord's Day, we'll begin to look at the signs that Jesus says is going to appear, not at the second coming of Christ, but at the destruction of the city and the temple in Jerusalem. Please tune in again next week. And until then, have a wonderful day and come and worship with us.